one of those great broadcast partners that comes to these microphones often with us, is Ken Timmerman out of the Washington, D.C. area. And Ken, a number of things to talk about, but I believe this last week the focus has been on Geneva, with the Iranian leaders coming together to meet with a group of world leaders to talk about what they're going to do with the development, possibly. They say it's not the case, but everybody seems to realize it is the case. Iran is developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. And the United States reporting they thought the talks went very, very well. Israel is watching it closely. Prime Minister Netanyahu has been warning world leaders about softening up on Iran. What are your observations as we have watched what happened this last week in Geneva?
Well, I think, you know, it looks like the United States is very eager to make significant concessions to the Iranian regime. I think this is potentially very, very dangerous, perilous, in fact, not just for Israel, but for Europe and for the United States. If we essentially set the threshold for any kind of military action against the Iranian regime, that they actually use nuclear weapons or begin to mate a nuclear weapon to a warhead, I think it's way, way too late, and we're essentially inviting attack. So I'm very concerned by these negotiations, and I'm afraid that the administration is quite willing to give away the store.
In fact, they seem that's exactly what they are doing, giving away the store, and Israel very much concerned about that. But that's not the only thing Israel is concerned about. A report coming out of the area of Lebanon. In fact, the report says that Al-Qaeda has received biological weapons, and most likely they got a hold of these from the Syrian arsenal of biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction. But Al-Qaeda with biological weapons is not a good thing for the world.
Clearly not. And the problem that we've got, Jimmy, is that a lot of Syria's chemical and biological weapons facilities are in areas which are no longer under Syrian government control. The Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Warfare, which just recently got the Nobel Peace Prize, has discovered this, that there are areas they can't get to. And the Syrian rebels, especially the Islamist rebels, are not willing to cooperate with them to be able to inspect those chemical weapons facilities. Now, the biological weapons story is a new development. We've known that Syria has been working on these weapons, but the details that were released just this week in a report from the Henry Jackson Center in London and were picked up in the Lebanese media are pretty alarming, and they show that the Syrians have numerous facilities decentralized, and many of them in the areas controlled by the rebels, where they have been keeping pathogens and biological warfare agents in small quantities to be able to ramp up production quickly if they decided they needed them. Now, if those biological warfare samples fall in the hands of the rebels and they have the technology to be able to, you know, to use them, we could be in for some very, very serious times ahead, because it's almost impossible to detect a biological weapon attack as it's happening. You only see it a couple of days later as the illness begins to spread and an epidemic begins to form, perhaps a week or 10 days later. And beyond, you know, by that point, it's too late.
Yeah, wow. A very alarming report. The fact is, that has been the fear of many in this world, that these biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction could get into the hands of these radical Islamists. Well, let me talk to you about China just for a moment. A couple of things I want to bring up and the items to follow I want you to give us your input on. China is moving quickly to develop a very strong growing clout in the Middle East. Now, what I'm going to illustrate this with is the recent deal between Turkey and China on missiles. Long-range missiles and a defensive operation in a missile system that China is supposedly going to deliver to Turkey. China is, they're growing economically, they're growing militarily. We better be watching them, but now they're going into the Middle East as well.
Well, they are, and their trade is advancing at pretty dramatic levels. Last year, they said that they had reached $220 billion a year of trade with Middle East countries. That's pretty significant. So that's a new market for China. And now they're not just selling civilian technologies. They are also, as you just mentioned, they're trying to make arms deals. And Turkey has always been has been equipped as a NATO member with U.S. and NATO weaponry. For them to buy $3 billion worth of Chinese missile defense systems is a very, very significant shift. And I would reckon that NATO leaders would be very disturbed by this, and that the United States should be very disturbed by this, because as they get those missiles, as they flow those missiles into their forces, they're going to need to have Chinese technical experts as well. And those technical experts, I guarantee you, will be there trying to elicit the secrets of the NATO weapons that Turkey already has in its arsenal. So this is an espionage threat at the same time as it's an economic and a geopolitical one.
I want to get back to China, but let me just insert right here Tayyip Erdogan, who is the prime minister of Turkey. I am not so sure that he has his nation in mind as it relates to developing this relationship, this arms deal with China, as much as the fact that he would like to be the pan-Islamic leader of the entire Middle East. Is this relationship with China playing into his goals in that area as well?
Well, insofar as it strengthens Erdogan and it strengthens his hand domestically, he wants to run for president next year. He's also said that he is intent on smashing the secular state in Turkey. He wants to replace the long-standing secular traditions of Atatürk with an Islamist state and Islamist traditions. This will essentially make Turkey the cutting edge or the leading edge of a revived Islamic caliphate, and yet, at the same time, Turkey claims to be sitting in the heart of Europe, wants to be admitted to the European Union. I think we're going to have an awful hard time in the future. The Europeans are going to have a hard time in the future, and NATO and the United States will have a hard time in the future dealing with an Islamist Turkey in their midst.
Well, it sounds like a revival to me of the old Ottoman Empire, when they basically controlled almost all of the Middle East and then started taking over most of Europe as well.
But it's worse, because the Ottoman Empire was not based on radical Islamist ideology. It had a remnant of the Islam. It was the remnant of the Islamic Caliphate, but it was not a radical Islamist expansionist state the way that Erdogan is dreaming of the future of Turkey.
Let's go back to China now. I said we'd return to that subject. Seems like China is giving out the word with Japan as their partner. Hey, we want to have a different standard economically than the dollar bill. And in fact, China is saying to the world, we need to de-Americanize this world as it relates to economics. Is that really a viable option?
Well, I think we shouldn't be surprised that the Chinese will gloat a bit as they see the United States head into economic turmoil. As we approached yet another fiscal cliff, in this case it was the so-called default, which would have taken place on Thursday of this week had Congress not reached a last-minute deal, the Chinese were sitting there rubbing their hands together and gloating that this could mean the demise of American economic hegemony. And, well, why shouldn't they take our place? After all, they are the single largest creditor of the United States. They own over $1.3 trillion of U.S. Treasury bonds and potentially much more that has not been declared publicly. And so why shouldn't they try to substitute some new currency, not necessarily their own, but a new currency perhaps backed with gold, to the U.S. dollar? This is a theory that's been floating around for some time. The Chinese have certainly been studying it. They've been writing about it, and they're talking about it. Whether they actually do it, I think, is another matter. We'll have to see. The biggest partners would be, as you mentioned, Japan, but they've also been talking about launching a gold-backed currency together with Russia.
And what would that do to America as far as the default situation?
Well, you know, it depends on many things. Number one, whether the U.S. gets our fiscal house in order. That does not seem to be in the cards right now. We've just kicked the can. The Congress has kicked the can down the road for a couple of months, but we're going to have the exact same problem in the future. And the Obama administration has not made any pledge whatsoever to decrease spending. They just want to borrow and borrow and borrow. And who are they borrowing from? Well, from China, the Japanese, and others. So we are not. There's no prospect for America to get its fiscal house in order in the near future.
I must remind everybody, not only do we focus on the Middle East, on the Jewish people, and all the conflict that's going on there to understand where we are in God's time, but we focus on world economics as well, because that will play a significant role in the end times. That's why we talk about these particular issues with Ken Timmerman, the man who covers a potpourri of geopolitical activities. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.